He's going to help us with understanding what the requirements are to create an emergency medicine residency, and helping to answer questions of that nature. Sitting next to him is Dr. Scott Barnhart. Dr. Barnhart is the medical director of Harborview Medical Center, which is, as all of you know, the only level one trauma center in the entire region, and the site of a great deal of emergency medicine training for medical students and for others. And I'm really pleased for Dr. Barnhart to be with us tonight. Closest to me is Dr. Bill Bremner. Dr. Bremner is the chairman of the Department of Medicine. The Department of Medicine is the home of our emergency medicine faculty, and the Department of Medicine is also the home department for a significant amount of our graduate medical education programming. On the speakerphone, and you can see him, is Dr. John Coombs. Dr. Coombs was not able to be with us in person tonight, but is here in spirit. Dr. Coombs is our Vice Dean for Graduate Medical Education and also for Regional Affairs. I don't know whether he'll be able to make comments. He may try, but he will certainly be able to answer questions. So here's our group, and I reiterate what Ben said. In order that Dr. Coombs can hear you, in order that your conversation can be recorded for those who will be watching it on video tape and listening to audio tape, please use a microphone when you start to ask questions. So let's go ahead and get started. Bill, would you like to lead off?
Is that working? Well, thanks very much, Tom, and thanks to you all for coming and your interest in this topic. I'm pleased that we have an opportunity to have this dialogue, and while I'll make a few comments and try to address some of the questions that were posed to me, I would be happy if you want to interrupt and ask questions as we go along. That would be fine, and I, at least, and probably the others, will do our best to try to address what you ask in real time, and probably that might be more effective than my talking and your listening only. Just a little bit of background. As Tom noted, the Division of Emergency Medicine is one of the 14 divisions in the Department of Medicine, along with cardiology and pulmonary and so on. And has been that since its inception about 10 years ago at this school. This is in contrast, as many of you who are seriously interested in the topic would know, to many of the schools around the country in which emergency medicine is either a department freestanding on its own or a division in the Department of Surgery. Here it's a division in the Department of Medicine. It originated in the section of general internal medicine about 10 years ago and then divided off into emergency medicine and has been that way to this point. It's had faculty up until the last few months, really only here at UW Medical Center, but in the last 3 or 4 months we've added three and about to add a fourth emergency medicine faculty member at Harborview in the emergency room there. It's a small division. There has never been a true University of Washington-based emergency medicine residency program. The program that was in existence before was actually based at Madigan with four slots per year for civilian trainees that rotated through that program. And we have Madigan trainees still rotating through various parts of our training environment, but about a year and a half ago they made the decision that they were not going to have any further civilian trainees in that residency program, and so for the last year and a half we've not had non-military trainees in that program. And as I said, there's never been a true University of Washington based emergency medicine residency. That, however, is definitely the goal, to have such a program, and there's a lot of active work toward getting to that goal, and that will be discussed more as we go tonight. Some initial steps in that process include what I just touched on, which is hiring new faculty into that division based at Harborview. And there are three terrific junior faculty there now, and that's working extremely well. I just met with that entire group yesterday with Dr. Kopas, who's the director of the emergency room there, and that has gone on very well. So that's a very encouraging and key first step. I think that Harborview, as Dr. Norris mentioned, is of course the level one emergency room in the Northwest. It's certainly the busiest among the hospitals that we train in, and in many ways would be the sort of jewel in the crown of any system that would provide emergency medicine training. And we have to have faculty there, obviously, who can provide appropriate supervision for trainees, and that's what we're actively working on. So that's been accomplished and is working very well. There's, I've just made an announcement that we're going to move toward recruiting a division head in emergency medicine. There's been an acting division head for the last 3 years or so. We'll move toward recruiting a quote-unquote permanent division head. I felt that was needed faculty based at Harborview in order to proceed with the recruitment of a first-class person nationally and internationally for that role. And so we will proceed on with that plan. We're also actively talking with Harborview administration, and Scott can speak to this, as well as with Dr. Kopas and other faculty about moving ahead with additional recruitment for faculty based in the emergency room, emergency medicine, trained faculty based in the emergency room at Harborview, and that will be the next step in the process. There are plans being worked on for what it takes to get us from where we are now to a emergency RRC accredited emergency medicine training program, and there's active work on what there has to be in terms of a program structure, what there has to be in terms of faculty supervision, and so on to bring that about. I can't give you an exact timeline for that, and RRCs are challenging and have been particularly demanding, I think it would be fair to say, in recent years, in general, not specific to emergency medicine, but really in all RRCs. This is a residency review committee which determines accreditation of residency training programs. Sorry for the abbreviations, the bureaucraties. The RRC is the group that we have to submit any plan to for approval for a residency program. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Brock. I'm a fourth year. I was just hoping that you could make some kind of a guess, like is it going to be 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20?
No. I'm happy to guess. I'd have to give that caveat that, but it certainly won't be 10 or 20. I mean, it would be more than one. It would be, I think, small single digits, but I would guess 2 to 3, maybe 4 max, is my hope and goal. That won't work for you as a fourth year student, I'm sorry.
I'm Chris, I'm a first year. I'm a first year, so I really don't know a lot of the history, but I get the impression there isn't a lot of history around this, but why doesn't medical allow students into the program anymore? Is there a chance that they might change their mind? I mean, within the next year or so.
I'm not sure. I know exactly why they didn't. The reason they stated for doing it was that there was an increased demand in the Army for emergency medicine trained physicians, and that they had trouble having people even to assign to Madigan as physicians, and so they were wanting to train more emergency medicine docs for the Army, and therefore they wanted more military people in those slots and not civilian people in the slots. Now, so your next question to me might be what happened with the slots, and I must admit I don't actually know the answer to that. Maybe John Koontz does, or but in other words, I don't know whether they in fact filled. I don't think they did. In fact, the first to fill those forces were sort of military people. But so, and I'm not questioning the veracity of the reasons they stated. I'm just, we don't have enough interaction with the Madigan people who run the program to really know a firm answer to that question. And I, and by extension, I don't know the answer to your second question, which is, would they be willing to take people back? I think probably the answer to that is no, but I don't exactly know. Are there any other questions?
Jonathan Griffin, the fourth year. I'm wondering, in your description of the conversations going on with Dr. Gopis and others at Harvard, I'm wondering, is there now, or are you talking about developing a unified vision to develop this ER residency training program here at the UW for the Atlantic States?
Yes, there is. There is a real commitment to do that, and Scott can address that as well. But certainly, both at the administration level at Harvard U and with Mike, there is a commitment to move toward having an emergency medicine residency.
You know, this might be a good opportunity for Scott to comment a bit, and after we get each person to comment a little bit, we can just do questions for everybody if you'd like.
Okay, well, let me, I'll just be very brief. Just to give you a quick overview about Harborview's emergency department, we are the only level one trauma center. We see about 85,000 visits a year. I think it's important to recognize that as the face of medicine has changed, fewer and fewer physicians practicing in the community are willing to take emergency call, and so that most hospitals no longer are able to maintain a full complement of specialty coverage in their emergency departments. What that means is that Harborview increasingly is the regional resource. It's the only place where you can go with spine trauma, neuro trauma, with acute blood in the head often, otolaryngology, oral surgery, obviously for major trauma, but also for any severe medical problems. So it is a very unique, and it is an extraordinary demand. And I give this as context because the way Harborview is organized is the emergency department is actually a collaborative effort with four sponsoring services: medicine, surgery, psychiatry, and pediatrics. And I say that because I know you're all interested in emergency medicine. I would ask how many of you, as part of that, are interested in taking care of the most gravely psychiatrically ill? Because that often is not what people think about. But, you know, at Harborview, we do take literally everybody, and, you know, they were sort of the no wrong door. A couple things in terms of our position on emergency medicine training. We see first the provision of care to the patients as our primary responsibility. And that's one that our board of directors is very clear about, and the medical executive board is quite clear about. And the medical executive board is really the body that is determining this is how we're going to provide services. The second thing, though, is that we see training as a very high priority, and it was one of the busiest sort of training sites for surgical residents, for medical residents. We have family medicine residents. We're also the place where all the anesthesiology residents learn their difficult intubations. We are the primary training site for all of the paramedics in the region. And for about 10 years, we were a very key training site for emergency medicine residents coming through the Madigan program. On the hospital basis, we are committed to moving towards an emergency medicine residency. But we're committed to doing that in a very deliberative manner, and one that does not in any way jeopardize the provision of care in the way that we provide care. And, you know, our approach to this has been to actually begin to hire emergency medicine trained physicians. We have hired now, basically it's four people, but 3.5 FTEs. We actually failed in some of our efforts to work closely with the current division members of emergency medicine here at UWMC in terms of how that would work. And so, you know, we've just taken these individuals and they're hired in that division, but we are integrating them into Harborview. And I want to say that I think that is going extremely well. And that's a very important first step because it's working well. There's very good dialogue. We're very close to working through some of the issues with anesthesia and anesthesiology in terms of intubations and how do we share intubations. There are, honestly, there are not enough intubations in the whole system to train everybody here to be competent in intubations. You know, it's just, it's, you know, there are limited training opportunities. So, you know, we're working through those issues, and I think that's going well. It is one where, in terms of, you know, next steps, you know, we have invited Dr. Bremner to actually come and talk with the medical executive board because they are a very key decision-making body in terms of how do we bring in and integrate emergency medicine board of physicians, but not disrupt a model of care which is actually extremely successful and one that is not duplicated anywhere in the Northwest. The services provided at Harborview are not available anywhere else, and so our maintaining the quality of care and maintaining the delivery of services there is really the highest priority, and that comes up for our Board of Trustees as well as the MedExec Board. Maybe I should just turn it over to Joe.
Well, I'll come in a little later into the equation. The policy issues related to emergency medicine residency are those that Dr. Bremner and Dr. Barnhart have described. My role is maybe a little less exciting, but nonetheless important. And what I want to do is just take a minute or two and give you the 60-second education on the ACGME. The ACGME is the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education. It's a group that certifies all of our programs, and that certification or accreditation, is actually what they refer to, is required not only for you to sit for the boards, but also for the program to receive Medicare reimbursement for the resident stipends. If you go to a non-accredited program, which you wouldn't do, you're not going to be able to sit for any boards. So they're a key hurdle in getting over. And as Dr. Bremner mentioned, the ACGME can be a very challenging group to deal with. They are broken up into about 24 different RRCs or residency review committees. These committees are consist of physicians in that specialty who review the performance and the quality of every residency program in the United States. There are about 8,000 residencies across the United States in about 150 different specialties that the ACGME recognizes. So it's a huge number. It's a huge organization. They do very good work. They're very strict. And one of the things you need to keep in mind is that they're the last step that we will take when we set up a residency. We can't go to them now and say, we're hiring really great people. We think we're going to have good faculty here in a couple of years. Part of the application package, and I handle these routinely, so we have 82 programs here alone. A lot of the packages are this thick. They're thicker than my doctoral dissertation, and they probably represent a lot more man hours. But part of that thickness consists of the CVs of every teaching faculty in that particular program. So you have to demonstrate that you have the right people, that they have the credentials, that they are board certified, and that they're committed to education. And part of Dr. Bremner's challenge that he talked about was bringing the right people in. We have to demonstrate that we have those folks on board. Once we have them on board, that's a major step toward achieving accreditation. There's one other, I want to address a little question here that has been asked of me before, and
rather than have this come up later. There was a question of a combined family medicine and emergency medicine residency. The ACGME recognizes what they call combined residencies. The most common one is a Med-Peds. So if you're interested in doing a Med-Peds residency, you would spend 4 years in training, 2 years in internal medicine, 2 years in pediatrics. At the end of that time, you would be eligible to sit for the boards of both those specialties. The program itself only exists on paper. It's not a real program. It can only exist because there's a medicine residency and a pediatric residency where you're doing your training. And I go through this whole explanation because I want you to understand that if you're talking about a combined residency in emergency medicine and something else, you have to have the emergency medicine residency established. It's not emergency medicine light because you're also doing family medicine. You have to have a full program, and if the program, let's say, is accredited for their they're allowed to have 30 residents in their program, say 10 per year. They would have to take from that 10 per year a number of those positions and dedicate them to the combined residency. So although it's a neat idea, it's probably not, at least in the short term, a viable solution here. I think it'd be fabulous to have a program that was doing rural work and had family medicine ties, emergency medicine ties, but the complexity of setting that up and of sacrificing those emergency medicine positions for a combined program with something else is probably going to be a non-starter for us.
Joe, thank you. Dr. Coombs, did you have additional comments? If so, we can hold the microphone here next to the speakerphone and pick you up.
No, I don't think so. I just want to say that ever since we established the combined or the integrated program with Madigan, the University of Washington has been committed to having emergency medicine within the Northwest and as part of the University of Washington programs. But I think it would be best if I just I find it very helpful to just listen to the dialogue, and I think it's probably difficult for me to make any statements beyond what's already been said.
Thanks, John. So let me ask if you have questions. And if you do, I'd ask that you use the microphone so that we can get them on tape, please.
Hi there. I'm Allison. I'm a second year. And I was wondering if you could describe the Harborview ER to us. I've heard a lot of rumors that it's surgeons and medicine people together, but then I've also heard rumors that there are some emergency physicians there as well now. And so I'm just kind of curious, what does the structure of it look like? And maybe also for some folks, also what the UWER is like, because I know that there's emergency residents there and then medicine residents there and emergency physicians. So just kind of a descriptor.
Well, the Harborview emergency room right now is sitting with about 22 boarders in it, which is true, and it is hopping. A boarder is a patient who has been admitted and we're looking for a bed just because we're that full, and we've been that way for about the past 30 hours despite being at trying to tightly manage our admissions through the ED. The way it is split up is there are essentially three teams. There's what we call ED East, which is more of the lower severity of illness, lower acuity, some people would call kind of urgent care problems. And then there is a surgical team, and there is a basically medical team. PEDS comes in as they are needed, but we have that relatively modest volume of pediatric patients. And then we have what we call our crisis triage unit or psychiatric emergency services. And so patients who have acute psychiatric needs are sent there, though they often will go for medical clearance. The surgical residents rotate on the surgery side, and that's where all the trauma comes. Medical residents will rotate on the medical side. The attendings, which are, we now have about 22 attendings of whom three are emergency medicine board, and they have just been hired in the past year, starting in October. It was the first time that they started. And the remainder are trained in internal medicine. almost all the attendings will cover both the trauma side, so they could be the trauma attending, or they'll cover the general medicine or the internal medicine side. So the attendings go back and forth. It's important to recognize, though, that the model is heavily dependent on a very close relationship with all the sponsoring and consulting services. So when there's trauma, you have not just the attending and the surgery R2, but you're going to get, in a trauma code, you're going to get the surgical attending, the chief resident, and all the other residents that come down as part of the team. If there's a neurosurgical problem, the neurosurgeons are coming down. If it's a neurology, the neurology residents are coming down. Virtually all of the house staff who are working at Harborview are coming down almost on a daily basis, if not multiple times during an admitting period, to the emergency room, either providing consultation or directly working up and admitting the patients right from the emergency room. So in some ways, our model is such that we are really using the emergency room to extend our specialty care directly to the street. But I think if I'm answering your question, there's a surgery trauma side and there's a medicine side. But the attendings go and cover both.
The UWMC emergency room is staffed by emergency medicine faculty, services and consult services are called down as appropriate for the patient that's seen there.
My name is John. I'm a third-year medical student and former leader of the EMIG when I was in first and second year. My question is in regards to what is currently being done in collaboration with Harborview, being that that would be the main site that EMIG works in this space here in the Seattle area. In my little bit of research that I've done on this topic, the TR is run in a very traditional fashion here in Seattle, which is very different from across the nation, where ERs are typically run as they are here and dubbed strictly by emergency medicine physicians with consult services called down as needed. With the medicine and the surgery, traditional services running the ER at Harborview, I'm wondering how the current ER docs will be involved in that process, and how that might limit prospective ER docs from coming to UW should UW want to pursue an emergency residency, where they will need to fully staff an ER with emergency medicine docs. Also, per my understanding, that's what needs to be done in order to fully offer an emergency medicine residency to fully staff with ER docs. I don't see that happening at Harborview in the near future, and I think that might be a big barrier. Can you just comment on that?
You are correct. I don't see that happening in the near future either. I think it's important to recognize that the emergency medicine RRC and their requirements are that the residents be supervised, and they are not more specific than that, that the residents and training be supervised. This was looked at when there were a number of concerns raised a couple of years ago, was looked at in detail, and it was felt that we needed a minimum of 4 emergency trained or emergency boarded physicians to be able to provide the coverage for the emergency medicine residents that were there. It does not require that the emergency room be 100% emergency physicians. And that is really not a model that I think any of us are contemplating. Actually, the model we're contemplating is continuing with the model that is in place, which actually works quite well and provides a level of care. I mean, I think one of the things we have to recognize is the level of care that's being delivered in the emergency room and the severity of illness that's arriving there is not the same as in many other hospitals. And so it's a different model for a good reason. There are actually many emergency rooms across the country where the trauma surgery side is actually kept separate from the emergency medicine side. And, of course, then the psychiatric is also kept separate. We're really planning on continuing very much an integrated model. I think, you know, one of the issues under discussion is what is the right number of emergency physicians that could come that would need to be there to have a viable training program. And I want to be very clear that, you know, part of it is a requirement by an RRC, and an RRC gets to make that call. But, you know, you have to wonder, do you want to learn about the management of an acute ischemic stroke from a neurologist or from an emergency physician or from a team of the two of them? And what is, you know, I think that's a matter educationally that is open to discussion. One of the reasons I've asked Dr. Bremner to come and talk with the MedExec board is that I think there is a concept for us to move forward with a residency. We will probably need more emergency physicians to be hired. But there's also a great deal of reluctance to do that because we do not want to destabilize what is a very effective care delivery system at this time. And that's why the Medical Executive Board at Harborview is taking a very keen interest in this and is following it very closely because, you know, the internists and the surgeons do not want to be in a position where they see that the model of care that we're currently delivering, which really a service starts with a patient the minute they come in and then follows them right through till discharge, they want to make sure that that model continues and, you know, that longitudinal care. And so it's really a matter where there's going to need to be discussion and there's going to need to be a building of trust and good faith on all sides, which, you know, I have to say, you know, because of some of the events in recent years, some of that trust was lost, and that has slowed down this process.
Scott, could you comment on how the new emergency medicine trained physicians at Harborview are being incorporated into the current system?
They're incorporated just like any other attendant. There are no differences in their job descriptions or in how they operate.
I think the student's question, though, was do they come in on the medicine side? Do they come in on the surgery side?
Everybody covers both, with a few exceptions. But their job description, number of shifts, the job description, whether they do the medicine or the surgery side, is the same. I don't know, Bill, if you have comments.
I would just, I think Scott's done a very accurate assessment of the way it is and what we're trying to do. And I would just add, as I touched on, that the three EM docs who have come into the ER there are all doing extremely well. They're pleased with the positions they have, and the medicine and surgery people and Dr. Klopas are all extremely pleased with that. That part of it's working very well, which is, I just met with the entire group actually yesterday morning, and and I've talked with them individually. So that's a very good sign, I think. I don't know how many of you were around a couple of years ago, but that was a pretty tense time, and led to, as Scott just touched on, a lot of concerns going forward about a variety of issues in this area. But at any rate, that's a very positive step, I think, that Harborview has taken, and I just want to stress that.
I just want to add, I think they've been very well accepted by the medical staff.
Hi, my name is Noel. I'm one of the EMIG leaders and second year here. I wanted to ask a question about a comment you made earlier about basically the sort of the lack of trust or some of the things that have happened politically between UW and Harborview and revolving around the residency program. And what sorts of things do you see the interest group and the students in general being able to do to help sort of foster building those bridges and maybe creating more of an environment that's accepting to this change?
Well, I think the, you know, I welcome you to come do a rotation at Harborview. Do as many rotations as you can at Harborview would be my recommendation. You know, I think this sort of dialogue is very helpful. You know, I can tell you that Dr. Bremner has been working this issue very hard. There's also been a lot of hard work at Harborview to recruit and really to welcome these new attendings in. I think that's very important. I think it's also important that, you know, people just recognize some of the issues that are out there and talk about them. That, you know, there are particular issues around, you know, for lack of a better word, turf. And, you know, the more that we sort of recognize that, but then are really honest with ourselves, or, you know, what is an issue that is, you know, that's really around quality of care issue? And it's important when, you know, one of the things that happened was that there were significant allegations made a couple of years ago about quality of care. That was thoroughly reviewed. It actually went to an external reviewer, which was unprecedented. And there were no serious quality of care concerns that were raised, that were really identified. There's always things you can improve upon, but they weren't raised. But I think it's important, you know, as we work through this, you know, we want to build trust to identify those things that are really, you know, turf, and are they, you know, call them for what they are, and what are the, you know, but what is the high ground? The high ground is first the delivery of the care to the patient, but secondly, and this is a discussion we've had at Harborview, we recognize that Harborview is the key training site for emergency medicine, and there is bar none. There's no better one, and it's a great site, not just because of the patients, but because you have the orthopods coming down, the neurologists coming down, the oral surgeon, which frankly, if you go and look at most emergency medicine residencies, there's very few that will be able to draw upon that level of specialty involvement in a site with the kinds of patients that Harborview has. So we recognize that, and that's why the hospital and the department have, you know, taken very concrete steps. It is something that's going to take some time.
John, did you have comments with regard to that particular question on what role could the students play in terms of helping to move things forward?
Well, I think the continued student interest is very important, and, you know, I think that it's difficult just because of the communication side, but can people hear me when I'm speaking like this?
You're on the microphone. We can hear you.
Can the students?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's particularly important for the University of Washington to recognize that we have two very essential roles in not only Seattle, but also within the region. The first is to provide the best care possible, obviously, for our patients, and to be a model in that respect. And I think that what has been described in terms of specific to the Harborview Emergency Department and the service of care there is something that has been refined very carefully and modeled very carefully over the course of the past 30 or 40 years since the University of Washington has been involved there. And the second role is a training mission, and I think it's absolutely essential that we, you know, that we create an emergency medicine residency program, because clearly it's going to be an important part of service delivery of care in the region as we move forward. I think, though, that developing an emergency medicine residency and throwing out the door the carefully developed activities at Harborview is something that none of us would like to see. And quite frankly, I think the RRC got a little bit ahead of our ability to be able to adjust to that and adjust to the requirements that they had, because this was not something that, when it started in 1996, remained the same, but rather there were changes in the standards and the requirements that required that we adjust to that. And we couldn't do that at the time frame that was demanded without disrupting the way care is provided at Harborview. So I think back to the question about students, there's obviously a strong student interest, and I'd like to learn more also, perhaps not tonight, but if it is possible, as far as also the strong student interest that exists right now and why that exists as strong as it is. Learn more about that. But I think that's very important as far as driving that. I think what's really essential is that we continue to work together, and by that I mean the students, the departments, the hospitals, the GME office, to be able to, at the school, to be able to assure that what we do create is enduring and is also top quality. As I travel around the country, I know people look to Harborview and they say, wow, you know, that's where so many things that we use on a day-to-day basis across the country and around the world in emergency medicine were developed. And I think that we need to make sure that we maintain the quality of patient care that existed there as we build and adjust to the requirements of an emergency medicine residency program.
John, thanks very much. Other questions?
This question is mostly for Dr. Winner. My name is Ben Constance, the second year student, one of the unit leaders. You made a couple comments on to the uniqueness of the Harborview approach and also to the uniqueness of the level of care that Harborview provides for the whole Northwest region. And in envisioning an emergency medicine residency program that are adequately trained in our physicians to go through in the region, they're often going to be seeing a lot of the same certain patients. Obviously not always with the opportunity to use Harborview, but are not going to have a facility similar to Harborview Medical Center and the specialists available. I appreciate your comments about the quality of care at Harborview Medical Center and anybody's questioning that. But what I do find interesting is if the model, as you mentioned, is not necessarily the predominant model in trauma systems. And from what I understand, other systems have really good statistics to provide good care as well. What I'm asking is, can you comment on is the model that Harborview currently uses going to be conducive to training physicians who are going to be working in more rural communities? And specifically, with the approach that an emergency physician may take with an undifferentiated patient that shows up at the door versus a service caring for a patient from the first time they entered a hospital all the way through admission and treatment. Obviously, the approach is going to be a little different, and the training for people who are going to be competent to care for those undifferentiated patients is probably not so.
Simple word, yes. I mean, I think for one thing, you know, the emergency medicine residents who were here before actually spent their time in multiple diverse settings, as it is with any residency. I mean, an internal medicine resident, even though you train at Harborview and the U and the VA, you know, many of those practitioners go out to places where they don't have all the support. And the prior emergency medicine residents trained here at UWMC, they spent some time, actually a limited amount of time, I think it was about 3 months at Harborview, then they were also spent time at Madigan and in community hospital settings. I don't think that the training venue or the training and the model that we have are at all mutually exclusive. And I think, you know, every residency that you would apply to there, or at least many of them, would have the same goals but or the same challenges. But I think it is important to sort of know, you know, how would something be optimally handled if you had everything, because that's going to have to go into your fact, into your decision on whether or not to transport. There are actually, you know, very few settings where you can't get to a tertiary care center now in this state with. Between, you know, it's got to be really bad weather, if, you know, to not be able to transport very rapidly to a tertiary center. And it's a very small portion of the population that is in these very rural, remote areas where that doesn't occur.
In my head. I would just underscore, I think, everybody's commitment involved in this to hold patient care as the number one goal. And that's true in all our programs. I mean, we can't do adequate training if we don't have first-rate patient care. And so that, I think, is my own priority in interacting in this discussion as well. And I've stated that repeatedly. And the second part of that discussion is, as Scott touched on, the fact that Harborview have in medicine and surgery developed programs that have been unquestionably extremely successful, and it's why it's the region's level one emergency center, and why Medic One started there, and why lots of advances in pre-hospital and emergency room care come from that site. And so I think there are a variety of competing priorities here. At the same time, as I started with, it long term is not a sustainable position not to have an emergency medicine residency. I mean, there's in my mind no question that we have to do that, and I think in fact that's true in the minds of people at Harborview, to my knowledge, to a person. But it has to be done in a way that is conducive to the first goal, that is to maintain excellent patient care there. And so that's what we're working through. And this, you know, this will have some bumps in the road. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And the biggest one is going to be probably the one interacting with the IRC. But I think that my own feeling about it is we have to hit it with an optimistic attitude and go for it. I mean, I think we have to feel collectively that we can accomplish all of these goals of superb patient care and superb training, and that has to include emergency medicine training. So I'm convinced we can work that to that, and I think everybody I'm talking with at Harborview thinks that can be done as well. It's a matter of timing, structure, planning, but it's been a very major first step to hire the first group, and we're talking about going on from that actively right now. So I'm very encouraged about what's happening in that regard. I know it's not in the time frame that will work for you all as a fourth-year student or third-year student, but I think it's in everybody's best interest, not just yours, to make this happen, and I think it will.
My comments to our faculty, and keep this to around an hour. I'd like to summarize some of the key points that have been made and then ask you if there are any other questions that we haven't addressed yet. The first key point is that Harborview and the Department of Medicine are working hard to add an increased number of emergency medicine physicians to the staff of Harborview. The emergency medicine department, or the emergency room here at UWNC, is his staff more certified emergency medicine physicians. There are now three and will soon be four emergency medicine physicians at Harborview. One of the problems that we've had from the medical student standpoint is that if you're interested in emergency medicine residency, you need a letter of recommendation from a board certified emergency medicine physician to help you get that position. That's been not possible at Harborview because they have not had people who were certified. That's changed. And so that situation has taken a much more positive situation than we had previously. As part of the development, Dr. Bremner commented that he was moving towards hiring a division head for the Division of Emergency Medicine. It was a permanent division head. He's had a division head for the past 3 years, and this is a significant move. The next thing that was addressed was what about the loss of Matic? And I think it's been made quite clear that none of us really wanted to see the civilian slots at Matic lost. It was a need that the Army had to educate more military emergency medicine physicians and rotate more people from the Army through that, partially because we're in a war right now, and they're being were military emergency medicine doctors. The third thing that was key was the question about the commitment of the University of Washington and the Department of Medicine and Harborview to move towards developing an emergency medicine residency. And I think we've all learned a lot about that and about the fact that there is a commitment to do that. The time frame is uncertain, but doesn't stretch into the 10 to 20 year neighborhood and is likely to be much lower than that. So there's some very positive things that are going on here that have been presented tonight. One of the key points that have been made, I think the questions that it asked us to address have been pretty well addressed. Let me ask, prior to thanking everybody, whether there are additional questions that we just haven't got.
Raise that up for all these tall people to ask the questions.
Well, one last question I wanted to address, and it's not so much specifically to the ER residency and Harborview, but more to UW's responsibility to the Miami region. With the large number of students that are applying and matching emergency medicine, they're leaving the Miami region. A lot of them have commitments to come back to the Miami states, where we also know that a large percentage of students or residents stay where they do their residency here.
I do have a comment, and Dr. Schiff may have a comment on that. One of the things in the school's mission is that we need to, through our training processes, address the workforce needs of the Miami States, and we're quite interested in doing that. Clearly, one of the significant workforce needs is in the area of emergency medicine physicians. I think that that's one of the reasons that Dr. Barnhart made clear that we will be seeing eventually increased training for emergency medicine physicians. No, your point is right on track that when medical students graduate and go to another region of the country to train in a particular residency, it increases their chance of staying in that area of the country and not coming back. And that's something that we would like very much to not have in case. And as time goes by, I think we'll get there. John, do you have comments on that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question.
John, the question basically was with regard to our responsibility to address the workforce needs of the region in emergency medicine, how did we feel about the fact that a number of our students were graduating into emergency or were going into emergency medicine residencies after graduation in other parts of the country and might not be coming back?
Well, I think we feel very bad that there isn't the opportunity for them to do that, to exercise that here in the Northwest. I think that was the feeling in 1994 when we started down the road to look at how this could be done and decided to create the integrated program with Madigan, and starting in 1996. That was the intent. And I'd like to add two additional things. I think the University of Washington is very committed to getting this done. We've focused on some of the issues at Harborview tonight, some of the issues in the Department of Medicine. But there are two other things that I'd like to mention. First of all, Children's Hospital has gone through a complete transformation of their emergency department to allow us to support emergency medicine training there. And so that is something that also was a problem when we started down this road 4 or 5 years ago. And that has been something which is well on its way to being completely resolved. And the second thing is that over the course of the past 10 years, we actually, 5 years ago, had it recommended to the dean that we increase the size of the civilian numbers from 4 to 6 residents per year. And this was approved by the dean, but was not accepted by Madigan in terms of the expansion. So that I think that that's an indication at that time that both the commitment of the university as far as the faculty and the training programs to expand, as well as the commitment of the dollars to make that happen, were there even 5 years ago. And it's only because we've stumbled on some of these issues that are now been changed and required by the RSC that we find ourselves in the position that we are now.
Thanks, John. Well, I'd like to thank all of you for coming. I'd like to thank you for your thoughtful questions. I'd like to thank the leadership of the Emergency Medicine Interest Group for a really good dialogue around this. We stand committed to respond to your questions as they come up. And I'd especially like to ask you to help me thank these gentlemen for spending your evening.